coming up on Thunder Pop.
Damn, you even got a bugle horn. You didn't just get the regular, like, coming up on Thunder Pop. You got the bugle horn, which is like means it's like going to be the most epic, like,
exactly,
hour in Thunder Pop history.
Absolutely.
And it's a storied history, as you may know. Speaking of history, one of my first panelists and guests to ever come on the show and really got us off to a rip-roaring start, Jazz One, who is one-third of Evil Flying Chickens, has made his triumphant and long-overdue return to the Thunder Pop Dome.
The Thunder Pop Dome.
Which he just coined the name of the studio, which we just call it Thunder Pop Studios, or we call it the Man Cave. But before the show, we were sitting around talking, and then we basically did an episode before we even started recording, and he's like, you should call it the Thunder Pop Dome. Yeah, Thunder Pop Dome. Bringing you back, Jazz One. Man, I'm glad to have you back. It was my second and third show, and you and Jason came by, were so nice. You know, you had no idea if I even knew what I was doing around that point.
I had faith in you.
You had faith, you did. And he came by, and Jason came by. Now, just now recovered. Took you probably, about 10, 15, 20 days. Just now recovered from South by Southwest 2016. Yeah, and then a little pop there. This time around, I need to actually sound like cut that and save it. I'm going to use your pop, 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 like a
residuals.
Residuals. Mailbox money. Mailbox.
Exactly.
Every time, yeah. Gotta love it. Gotta love the mailbox money. I used to get mailbox money, but it had a picture of Ed McMahon on it, and it was just like a promise that you might get money.
Ooh.
That I never got.
Just weeks from now, Ed McMahon will be congratulating American Family's new multi-millionaire.
And you may be the one. Next month's American Family $10 million winner. Enter fast, win fast, in America's only sweepstakes with my picture. You can be a millionaire. $10 million rich, real fast.
When Ed awards another $10 million prize.
Return the winning number in time and the $10 million grand prize can be yours.
Do they still have that? Because Ed McMahon, of course, is not alive anymore. Rest in peace.
Ed McMahon's corpse.
But who do they still have a Publishers Clearing House? Does that still exist?
I don't know.
I'm going to Google that while we're on like a break later. We can come back and reset on Publishers Clearing House and its fate. I know I'm not aging any of us here, but I know you probably, as me, remember, and at least the tail end of it, last years of it, when you used to get those Parade magazines with the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd back, and you'd get, like, for 99 cents, the CD clubs.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah. Did you ever?
No, but thought about it.
Thought about it, yeah. I had heard stories that finally they got outed a little bit, as everything does eventually get outed for its wrongdoings or its right doings behind the scenes, but apparently people would order those and they would get all kinds of things happen. Like they would get their CDs, but the cases would be cracked or broken, pieces coming off of the packaging.
Man, it was like real life Napster.
Yeah, it was Napster before Napster. I'll call it Crapster.
I got a virus from Publishers Clearing. No,
we should start Crapster. Crapster could be like really bad covers. Cover bands doing covers of all the songs that people want to download on iTunes, but they don't want to pay the full $2 for the song. So you can go to Crapster and you can get it for like 25 cents and it's just a really bad cover. Like you used to go into the Spencer's gift shop in the mall and you would buy these CDs, and I wouldn't read. It's like, oh, it's only $5.99 for the CD with all these hit songs on it, and then you'd get it home and realize it was like the all-star club band doing like covers of Duran Duran and Michael Jackson and Prince. It wasn't actually Prince, or it'd be like, instead of Prince, it would be like the court jester.
Oh yeah,
doing the Prince covers.
Oh
yeah, ba-dump bump, as they say. So, man, you just back fresh on the heels of South by Southwest 2016.
That was one long week. The chickens, Evil Flying Chickens, started a show on the Wednesday before South by.
Yeah.
To kick off the festival with the Austin Horror Society. So we played that show. So it's like my 11 days of South by turned into about 13 days of South by.
Which is not pretty typical. Yeah. So we're going to talk about his adventures at South by Southwest. Some big stuff. An interview now that online has already close to 1 million views.
No. It's 150,000 in one day.
No, we say a million. Just to... I'm your hype man here. I'm your hype man. They don't know that.
Hype man. I'm sure within a week or two, it will hit a million.
Have you ever had a hype?
We the best, not DJ Khaled.
Have you ever had a hype man, or have you ever been a hype man?
Yes, I have. Like back when DJ Mel used to do Crunky Oak. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
Ah!
I would call.
Ah! My horn.
DJ Mel. Take him back to the old school, Mel.
Yes, I remember Crunky Oak.
Yeah, like me and my boy Flex, who's also from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Like we would, I would be Biggie, he would be my Diddy.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, he would be my hype man. It was a beautiful thing.
I love it. So we're going to talk about some of the adventures from South by Southwest, and there were some big ones. And I forgot how many episodes we've done, so I won't say how many episodes. You just back fresh on the heels of South by Southwest 2016. This year was a particularly busy one. You said you probably didn't get a breather until you finally got to like maybe the last day where you could actually do your own thing and kind of float around.
Oh, yeah. It's like, in between interviews, a lot of times it was just not quite enough time to get out of downtown,
mm-hmm.
but too long to just be doing nothing. And like, you really can't go get into a show because you got to be out another 45 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When he's talking about covers, I was going to like, who let the dogs out when I heard the dogs barking?
Who let the dogs out?
I had to take a pause there because we had dogs in stereo, which sometimes a Thunderpop dome becomes the dog pound.
Oh!
So, because I take one of the dogs, the weather's nice, so I put him in the backyard.
Welcome to the dog pound. 20 people in the house, just shout, let me hear you say yeah!
Yeah!
And if you listen to the radio, let me hear you say yeah!
He'll go stand at the bottom of the stairs and just bark and bark and bark through the entire podcast. The other one, she could kind of chill and do her own thing. She sort of likes to luxuriate on the bed and wants food brought to her while she's in bed. So she's got kind of like that princess queen kind of thing going. But anyway, but if the other dog starts barking in the backyard, then she starts barking on the other side, and we got dogs in stereo, and it's the dog becomes a dog pound. It's like we're going to start get our Cleveland Brown shirts out.
It's like a call and response.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Hey, buddy.
No, I am in so much pain right now. God damn. Look at this place.
I know. Phil, they have my credit card downstairs. I am so screwed.
How does a tiger get in the bathroom? He almost killed me.
Hey, bro, you mind putting on some pants? I find it a little weird. I have to ask twice.
Pants at a time like this, I don't have any.
What the fuck happened last night?
Hey, Phil, am I missing a tooth?
I can't. Oh.
You know, I'm curious, what's the recovery process like? Is it's like by the time you finally do get to bed and you get some rest and it's after it's all over, it's probably that Sunday or Monday after?
Oh, yeah. It was like about Tuesday before I started like feeling like myself again.
Yeah, before you started getting back into your body.
Exactly.
So is it a lot of kind of sleep, kind of veg out?
Well, it's like during South By, you get used to, you know, not eating very much, not sleeping very much, and just keep going. Then it's like one night during South By, started at 10 a.m. And finished at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
3 hours of sleep.
Oh, that was a short day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like after it was all over, it was hard to sleep more than 3 or 4 hours. And, you know, just, I know it was like a week and a half, but man, I was really happy to kind of get back to my life, get back to the gym, going to the coffee shop.
A large black coffee.
A what?
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
He means a venti, yeah, the biggest one you got. Venti is large.
No, venti is 20.
Breakfast tacos.
The Great Breakfast Taco War of 2016.
You know, Jazz is involved in a lot of different things. He's a member of the Evil Flying Chickens.
Yes.
Band here in town, which we've had on the show. He's a DJ and poetry.
Yes, spoken word poet.
Spoken word poetry. But now he could add taco connoisseur. Hashtag taco connoisseur.
The connoisseurs.
The, and it's actually really is, the taco.
The Taconosaurs.
The Taconosaurs. And that's hashtag the Taconosaurs. That is your new project.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Michael Caruso, and I, we've been catching lunch for a while. And there's like so many good and great tacos around town.
I would assume when you say catching lunch, you're breakfast tacos.
Oh, okay.
Or tacos.
Well, okay, there's Taco Talk and there's Breakfast Taco Talk.
Don't get them mixed up.
Yeah, because those are two separate things. Now, the Breakfast Tacos.
Although sometimes I do have them together.
Oh, exactly.
I do the one in one.
Absolutely. But no, the Breakfast Tacos, you know, they recently got into a war.
It's the Battle of the Breakfast Taco. A controversy over where that breakfast taco originated is even getting national attention.
Some say San Antonio. Others say Austin. Ray, how'd this all start anyway?
It all started when an Austin writer wrote on Eater Austin. Austin Eater posted an article online, and he basically dubbed Austin as the city that is home for the breakfast taco. Now, this started the feud of all feuds, a great Texas divide. So it's the capital city versus good old San Antonio as to who actually made these flour tortillas with cheese, egg, meat, all of this yumminess that is known as the breakfast taco. Yeah.
Now, with that, what happened was a friend of mine who's a writer, screenwriter, I just saw her on Facebook and I saw the link to about the story about the taco war, breakfast taco. There's no bad breakfast tacos. You know, it's eggs and bacon or sausage or chorizo.
Great, and then there's greater.
Yeah,
there's good, and then there's gooder.
You can have better meat. You can have better eggs. Yeah. Then, you know, good tortillas, but it's also the pairing of the salsa. The salsa. San Antonio invented it. We perfected it.
Did San Antonio actually invent it? Is that verified, or was it South Texas?
I know San Antonio lays the claim to it. I've heard some little small border town also, stakes the claim on it.
Yeah, because it could have very easily been, like, the Doña Salsa from Taco Deli. That was a family recipe that came actually from Mexico.
Yeah.
And the Salsa Doña, she works for Taco Deli, and they had a competition. Salsa competition when they first opened to create a salsa for the restaurant, and she being an employee Taco Deli, she had this family recipe. There's the Doña recipe.
Oh wow!
So she submitted that and she won big time, dominated.
Yeah.
And then so there it was. There was the Doña salsa. So that was one thing. You know, people might think Doña was invented in Austin, but it kind of was brought here, installed.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, but yeah. So that thing. So there's probably some speculation, maybe, but eventually San Antonio, being the big mega city, got it out on the scene.
Yeah, but my screenwriter friend, she's I guess writing for The Guardian out of the UK, and she's like, can I get you to go on record with that?
Yeah.
I'm like, absolutely. You know, so I got pulled into the breakfast taco war of 2016.
Yeah. When you said, in your opinion, that the taco very well was probably invented in San Antonio.
Yeah, the breakfast taco may have been invented in San Antonio. We made it better.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio has a lot of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
If it was it became a thing there and reached out other parts of the country, it would have. You know, it's like some people credit South by because people were in town mm-hmm. and have breakfast tacos. Then they took it to wherever they're from. I don't know. Like, I just think we did a little better. You know, it's like I'm from Louisiana. I didn't even try breakfast tacos for like my first 4 or 5 years here.
Mm-hmm.
It just did not make sense. These two words did not sound like they go together.
So really, it took you a while.
Barbecue and donut.
It is kind of one of those things because I got a friend from New York. He's been here like 3 times in the last like 4 years. And every time he comes to town, I tell him, you got to get a breakfast taco. And he's just like, yeah, 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 yeah. And he has yet to get a breakfast. He could have even gotten one at the airport.
Man, the first time I had one, it was a South by, oddly enough. This guy walks past me with a cart. I give him like my $1.50 or whatever.
It was right there.
I put some sauce on it. All of a sudden, I heard angels. Like a choir of angels singing behind me when I had that breakfast taco.
Which is also the same feeling you had when the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl.
Ooh, don't even get me started, man.
It was very similar.
Man.
You had the choir of angels, heard the choir of angels that day, too.
Man, I've never seen so many grown men tear up and not be a funeral.
Yeah.
Football is more than football.
Yeah, it's a religion.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And it's a religion that you can talk about, and you're probably not going to cause as much. People are not going to get into, well, they're going to get into it, but they're not going to get in. Okay, never mind.
Well, a friend of mine called me out about talking shoulder tacos. He's like, you don't have football right now. I'm like, yes, you know me very well. Like, no, I don't have football to talk shit on, so I have breakfast tacos.
Breakfast tacos to talk about. So, yeah, so you got right in the middle of the, was it Taco War 2016?
Great. Breakfast Taco War of 2016.
Yeah. And so I posted about this. I've got friends from San Antonio right now that still are not talking to me because of this.
Shit's real.
And all I did was did one post on Facebook about it where I said, I feel like in Austin, they took it to the next level.
Well, tell you, it's funny.
So I agreed with you on that.
What started off Taco Quest 2016 with the Tacanosaurs down in San Antonio, my homegirl Donna Jean had a jiu-jitsu tournament.
Mm-hmm.
After it was over, we went to just a random restaurant and had the best, not breakfast taco, just day taco.
Yeah.
And it was like completely epic. Then we started thinking, it's like, we know there has to be something this good here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Austin, like there's so many good and great tacos, but where is the absolute best tacos in Austin? And that's kind of our mission. Like, what we're doing is doing 2 taco places, whether it's a sit down, whether it's a counter, whether it's a trailer, or as I like to call them, truckerias. You know, it's like we're doing 2 a week for the 2016.
Now, is this a blog or podcast or both?
Well, it's hitting my blog. We're hitting different social media, not uh-huh. his and mine, uh-huh. using the hashtag the Tacanosaurs and also Taco Quest 2016. And after this year is over,
mm-hmm.
We're going to package them up, put them into a book, Taco Guide, Austin Taco Guide.
I think it's going to be your taco guide. And this is the hashtag is the Tacanosaurs.
Yes. And you also can find hashtag Taco Quest 2016.
Taco Quest 2016, which will culminate with a book or journal. Provide their findings, your findings.
Absolutely.
You and your compadre, the findings that you have on finding. Can you give me a little bit, a few little nuggets?
Man, I'll tell you, there's 2 in the running for first right now.
Are you saving it? No,
I will give these. You can reveal? We hope there's better out there.
All right.
These are completely blown away.
This is a breakfast taco spoiler alert.
These are day tacos or night tacos.
Oh, okay, because you're not just doing breakfast, you're doing all tacos.
Yeah, we just got roped into breakfast tacos.
Because of this battle, yeah.
Well, what it is, like, we're trying to do al pastor everywhere. So that's our
one you're focusing on.
And then one bonus taco, whether it's barbacoa or something else, to kind of get an idea of what...
You kind of got to focus in on certain... Because tacos can be very broad. For somebody in, say, Milwaukee that's listening to this podcast, probably you're a little confused right now.
Yeah, if you've eaten the El Paso, was it the tacos in a box? You haven't had a taco yet.
The El Patio...
Old El Paso.
Or the El Patio TV dinners. Yeah. Did you ever have one of those TV dinners? They used to have the little tamales and then the little tacos and the little beans and rice.
Oh, yeah.
It was Tex-Mex in a tinfoil.
Oh, man. My homegirl, Donna Jean, her cousin from Korea, came over on a plane. And as soon as got her off the plane, took her straight to Torchy's,
mm-hmm.
and got to see her have her first taco. She's like, well, I went to Michigan once and had Taco Bell. I was like, you have not had a taco yet.
Oh, yeah.
So, I saw her bite into a Torchy's taco, and it was just like the look, like just everything changed.
And then the angels in the choir.
Exactly.
Elvis rising from the grave.
Have mercy.
Exactly.
Smoke coming up behind him in the white jumpsuit. Johnny Cash rolling, coming out of a volcano with lightning shooting out of his ass.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if you want to...
Riding a dragon.
Yeah. But the two best so far, La Mexicana, a Mexican grocery store on Riverside.
Oh, I know it very well.
And I'm like, those are incredible. And Borrego...
Is that Riverside or South First?
The best one is on Riverside.
Okay. There's more. So there is one on South First.
Yes.
I did not know I did not know that, and I did not know about the one on Riverside.
Yeah.
I knew about South First.
Incredible. And
they're open like till late.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Early.
And Borrego d'Oro,
mm-hmm.
Down South Congress and Ben White.
Gotcha.
And those are just incredible.
Have you hit my friends over at Taco Deli or also Miezo's Tacos?
Well, it's like Taco Deli and like Torchy's or Timmy are like the 800-pound gorilla in the scene. It's like, to me, it's like you got mm-hmm. Tex-Mex, you got Mex-Mex, like Taco Deli and Torchy's, I like to call them ATX-Mex.
You hit it right on the nose. They really started kind of a offshoot.
Man, it is Tex-Mex. Like curated pieces of edible art mm-hmm. in a tortilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and this is something, I was in California. I was out in California, not California. But I'm going to travel.
California.
I'm going to vacation sometime in California. But out in California, they had, the breakfast tacos weren't there. They had breakfast burrito. And I thought that just was just like West Coast people that didn't know how to call it breakfast taco. They called it something else. But there actually is something called a breakfast burrito, and it is literally a burrito.
While I'm in the backseat, spinning really fast. Hey, I'm really feeling ill, way beyond the help of a little pill. What I need now is a breakfast burrito. Come on, make me a breakfast burrito.
I was in San Antonio. The one time I tried to order a breakfast taco while in San Antonio, it happened that the place only did breakfast burrito. So when I got it, I didn't really get a fair comparison of my San Antonio breakfast taco comparison to the Austin experience. I will say this. I'm a big tortilla snob.
Oh, yeah.
I order corn tortilla unless I find out a place does homemade flour. As soon as I find out they do homemade flour, I am on board. Load me up.
Oh, yeah. Caruso, he usually does the flour. I usually do the corn.
I'll make exception on if it's El Milagro.
Yeah.
Then I'm still fine with the flour because that's like the next best thing to homemade flour tortilla.
But yeah, anybody wants to follow Taco Quest 2016,
mm-hmm.
At Caruso 4510
mm-hmm.
and at Jazz One. And also, I'm posting these to my blog, djjazz1.com.
Okay, great.
And we have a Facebook group going.
Wow, you have the Facebook for this too?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So, the poet, the DJ, the musician, now taco connoisseur.
You're leaving out actor.
You're right. The actor, too. Soon to be private detective.
Oh, maybe.
or past tense, already was a private detective. Probably solved some murder mysteries when he was in Louisiana. Called on to the job. By the way, True Detective first season, one of my favorite shows ever, based in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
Probably could easily put that in my top 10.
Oh, absolutely.
Brilliant. brilliant show. And the only thing that was sad about it is we only get one season of that version of True Detective.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was, everything was rolled out in that one season. And it's hard to come back and do that again when you've done it like that. That's why the second season has had such a hard time, because it's like, how do you follow that first season?
That's like Serial.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So when we come back, we're going to talk South by SXSW 2016.
Exactly.
With Jazz One, because he's got some stories. Man, I want to go get some breakfast tacos now. And I know some places that do breakfast tacos 24. I'm sure you know.
I can eat a breakfast taco any time.
Any time of day. And I've done it. I've saved some and put them in the fridge. Like, I had an extra one on standby. It should be an emergency breakfast taco in every house.
Exactly.
Kind of like an axe and a fire extinguisher, and then a breakfast taco whenever you need a breakfast taco. All right.
If you're fighting zombies, you need a breakfast taco.
That's how you can get the zombies off here. You throw that breakfast taco out there. They haven't figured that one out in Walking Dead yet. You throw that breakfast. I mean, they kick some ass sometimes, and they have to shoot some motherfuckers on there.
Exactly.
But they haven't thrown a breakfast taco out there. You throw that out, they'll forget whatever they're coming for.
Exactly.
I know, it works with me. All right, we'll be back here in a minute with more TP Thunder Pop at the Thunderdome.
The Thunder Pop Dome!
Thunder Pop, in association with D's Nuts Productions. Got 'em.
We're back with Jazz One, and while we were off on break playing our fake commercials, fake non-commercials, our fake non-sponsors.
Dude, I know you're going to be selling razors and mattresses and all the other podcasting stuff soon.
All that stuff. I'm already trying to pimp out the podcast for sponsorship. And I've already got, we're going to do toilet seats, a Thunderpop toilet paper.
Hey, Audible, to spend money here. I like to read books with my ears.
Silly Putty. I'll promote whatever you got for me. I'll just bring it. Lint in somebody's pocket. You want to sell some lint in your pocket? All the cuddle parties. Trying to sell tickets to a cuddle party. We can, they're actually, I follow Nextdoor. It's like the neighborhood, like Facebook group of sorts. And there's this lady now new in the neighborhood's promoting a cuddle party. And I actually thought about, and it's kind of a tired bit. It's been done. So I, that's why I haven't done it. But I wanted to go there and record me going to a cuddle party just for the podcast. But yeah, I think they did that. It was on Scott Baio is 45 and single. He did an episode where he went to a cuddle party.
Girl, I'll sell you a hug for a dollar.
Touch can be very healing. And sometimes things come up we don't expect. So that means that if you are cuddling and you become aroused, that's okay. That's a beautiful thing to acknowledge. Speak with your partner. You can excuse yourself and have grapes.
So when we were on break, we were talking about jazz and going back, his band. You're going to be performing in April. You're going back home to you're kind of one of your spots in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's like love going back to New Orleans. I'm from Louisiana. New Orleans is like a spiritual home. And our band usually goes back every year. Play a show there, mm-hmm. And it's just an amazing feeling to get love from that crowd.
You're going to be there with the Evil Flying Chickens, which is a jazz band, and you were talking about when Jason, who started Evil Flying Chickens,
yeah.
Correct? When he actually, you were already in Austin when Katrina happened.
Yeah.
Jason was living in New Orleans, and he moved to Austin. He fled New Orleans because of the storm. And you were saying how the band had lost all their equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Katrina.
Yeah.
And you were in Austin already. You'd been in Austin for a while.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was a real helpless feeling because you couldn't get a hold of a lot of the people.
Yeah, it was just, it was like the worst feeling in the world. It's like I kept calling people, like hopefully they would answer. And there was like no way I could just take off and like, even if I took off and went there, I'd have no idea where to find people at.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's amazing. Like, we live in this very technological world. But, man, sometimes Mother Nature just fucks you up.
It was really, to me, like, there was 9/11, then there was Katrina. And those were two of, like, the hugest events.
Yeah.
Tragic events in that period of time, over that decade. Sort of, even if you weren't from Louisiana, if you were from Texas, there's your neighbor. So you still very much felt close to the situation.
Oh, absolutely.
And we were kind of like, okay, is it going to be us that's going to get it, or is it going to be you that's going to get it? It's going to be Louisiana that's going to get it. And then when it shifted directions because it was heading for, it could have very easily been the Texas coast. Yeah.
But I tell you, man, it's like Louisiana people, we're resilient. Like we come back. You can't keep us down.
That city has emerged and reemerged and has the football team won a Super Bowl and they've continued to, they've rebounded quite well, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny. It kind of has a little bit of a more Latin flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, some of the people kind of help rebuild.
Yeah, that, it changed because a lot of people migrated, like Jason Charles came into Austin and fled. So we got a lot of the more of the Louisiana flavor because of the people that came to Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And probably Houston, maybe.
Well, it's like Big Chief Daryl's po' boy shop.
Mm-hmm. That would have never happened.
Yeah.
Had it not been for Katrina. Maybe never have happened if it had not been for Katrina. And so we got a lot more of that. Suddenly I started seeing some Cajun women in town.
Oh, man. Anytime I see beautiful Cajun skin. Saints gear or LSU gear, I have to stop them.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got more people that you could watch the football game with.
Oh, absolutely.
Suddenly. But then as New Orleans started to rebuild, it offered sort of a economic break to people that wanted to get a new start.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's kind of like what Detroit is sort of going through right now, yeah. Or trying to go through. I saw the documentary Detropia, how a lot of people are going there and buying buildings and condos for really cheap because they can buy it on the cheap right now. And for artists, it's an opportunity to go there and work and for a low cost of living.
Man, it's starting to gentrify a little bit.
Yeah.
But
and that happened in New Orleans.
Yeah. So, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of problems with Louisiana budget, state budget right now because of Jindal. If I see Jindal on the street, I'll fight Jindal.
He wants to UFC.
Yes.
With Jindal, the governor of
former governor. Former Governor Jindal, if I see you on the street, it's on.
And who's probably only just a little bit less popular than Rick Perry.
Man, herpes is more popular than, Jindal.
Yeah, so, and he had a run for the presidency that was the only one that probably was less successful than Rick Perry's.
Oh.
Because he never even made it on the first tier debates.
Oh, no. He was on the kiddie table.
You always got to go to the kiddie table, yeah. Which is, I could get on the kiddie table, shit. I bet we could work on that and get me on the kiddie table for the next one. If I get past the kiddie table, you're my running mate.
Oh, exactly.
We're going to do, because you're the hype man like no other.
I'll be your Joe Biden.
You be my Joe Biden. We can do it. We can do it. It'll be 2020, right?
Exactly.
We might be running against Kanye. Kanye's supposedly going to make a go.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
So it'll be I'd love to see that debate.
Man, me and you-know-who are chasing Kanye for an interview.
Oh, and so one of your big projects, and it's been going on for how many years now at South by Southwest, that you've been working with Nardwuar?
Yeah, this is the fourth year. Mm-hmm. Basically, the genesis of that was in 2010, I got to play South by as an official showcasing artist for the first time. And the guy that booked me... No, I was like trying to get my girl at the time to, just get a day pass, come to my shows and be there. And the guy who booked me wound up giving her an artist band. So Jazz One became a band, which...
I did not know that.
For that week, Jazz One was a band. Now, it's kind of funny going forward from there, we... referred to our relationship euphemistically as the band. Like, we're breaking the band up. I'm going solo. Oh, let's get the band back together. Mm-hmm. But now we went to Nardwuar's panel.
Now, for those that may not know who Nardwuar is, he's from Canada.
Yeah, he's out of Vancouver, Canada. And I think it's like Slate and BuzzFeed and a lot of publications have called him the best interviewer in music. Like, he will do ridiculous amounts of research, and...
He knows his shit.
Yeah, he will ask, like, about the cafe on the street somebody grew up on, instead of getting, like, rock star cliched answers.
Nardwuar! Who are you?
I'm Aziz Ansari, comedian.
Aziz, welcome to Auburn, Washington.
Thanks so much.
And right off the bat, I have a gift for you right here. Donnie and Joe Emerson, Dreaming.
Yes, I know this record.
Dreaming Wild. You love the song Baby, don't you?
I do. This is a great song. Thank you so much.
It's covered by Ariel Pink.
Yes. This is awesome. This is already my favorite interview I've ever done.
Like, in the room, you can feel, like, the walls go down. And all of a sudden, like, you just get these human moments. Like, my all-time fave is when he interviewed Kurt and Courtney Love together.
Wow.
And what was amazing about that was you got to see the dynamic of their relationship. You know, it's like everybody I know hates Courtney Love. But to see them together, yeah, Courtney Love. Now, I mean, a lot of people blame her for...
She's the Yoko Ono of Nirvana. Do you know a story on her one time, Austin's story? It was like at South by South. I was talking about South by South. South by Sexual Southwest.
Ooh.
Ooh. No, talk about
I'm
South.
Not telling them stories.
No. Save that for the Thunder Pop Extra. So, no, she
Thunder
apparently.
Pop Sextra.
Sextra, yeah. Now we're really the Thunderdome. So, ooh. No. The hole in the wall. The time she apparently locked herself in the bathroom at the hole in the wall and people were trying to get her to come out and she went, yeah. A little bit of the, as he rubs his, as Jazz One illustrates with his finger rubbing under the nose there. So that was the one of the infamous stories of her at South by Southwest years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in this interview, Kurt was giving very curt answers, pardon the pun. But she was doing that thing you see a lot of women do. She's trying to get him to expound his answers. Like, oh, tell him about this.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you saw the dynamic of their relationship. And it was really incredible.
And he probably was not an easy interview, Kurt Cobain, always.
No. But it was interesting to see the dynamic. I think Nardwar's been doing this for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of came up in the garage band punk scene, but he's interviewed everybody. I think it was like Pharrell was like the first person in hip-hop. Or
you did that one with him?
Well, he's done three interviews with Pharrell, and I shot the third one, which turned into a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was kind of an amazing experience.
You got a lot of good stuff in it then.
So oh, yeah. You know, it's like, well, we interview, shoot the interview of Pharrell, and then at the end of the interview, he flips the interview over and starts Nardwaring Nardwar. Like, he's asking about...
Pharrell.
Yeah, Pharrell. Like, wow. Normally, like, Mr. Joe, super cool. Like, but he was awkward doing Nardwar shtick.
And you gotta say ho like that. You can't say ho.
How? How?
And shake your head left to the right.
No, hoi, 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 like, I.
He had, like, the book that Nardwar's mother wrote. He had... You know, things that connected to Vancouver.
So he knew his Nardwar shit.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, he probably had like a private detective or something. But it's
sleuthing.
Been, yeah, it's been a really kind of an amazing run. But yeah, I think that year I only did two. It was like Pharrell, which turned into a two-parter.
And let me ask Pusher T. Let me ask you a Pharrell question. I have a lot of respect for Pharrell, and I've enjoyed him since the NERID days.
Yeah,
you know, years back. And I liked their music. So even before he was really mainstream, before he was The Voice, and before it was, you know, the Robin Thicke and Justin Timberlake stuff, when it was just NERID, I was a big fan of his. But then they had the whole controversy, the Robin Thicke, the Blurred Lines thing with Marvin Gaye. Hate to, like, pick on one person and not the other. I mean, I could almost believe that with Robin Thicke, but I don't believe that with Pharrell that he would intentionally try to rip off Marvin Gaye. I could believe that. I don't know why I can believe Robin Thicke would rip off Marvin Gaye, but I don't believe Pharrell would. I guess because Pharrell's got kind of a resume.
Robin Thicke is now claiming that he was way too high on Vicodin booze when his biggest song, Blurred Lines, was created. So as a lot of you know, Robin Thicke has been involved with a huge lawsuit with Marvin Gaye's family, them claiming that he ripped off Blurred Lines, the beat behind it, from a Marvin Gaye song called Gotta Give It Up. They've been going back and forth. Well, Robin just sat down for a deposition. And it's pretty fascinating. He says he was basically so jacked up, so high on Vicodin alcohol, that he basically had nothing to do with the creative process of Blurred Lines, that Pharrell did it all. Essentially throwing Pharrell under the bus.
Well, industry rule 4080, record company people are shady. Like, I don't think it's Pharrell. Like, I think it was the business side of that.
Yeah.
You know, somehow that all got... turned into a total mess.
There's a lot of politics that go on sometimes behind the scenes that stuff. We were talking about that one week here on the show with like the Star Trek and also some of the stuff that goes on with Star Wars.
Yeah.
And the politics that happen that we don't sometimes find out till years later. So yeah, and then there's the music. There's some shady shit that goes on.
Oh yeah.
It's do you believe that there's also some people that think that there it's really hard nowadays to produce original music and not sometimes have accidental mishap on, oh, we actually, that song's been done already. Do you believe that? Or as an artist, do you believe that's a bunch of hogwash and there's plenty of real estate left to create?
Yeah, it's one of those things I could see both of. You know, it's like everybody was influenced by something. Mm-hmm. You know, you learned playing somebody else's music.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, you know, duplicate, deviate, then originate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first, try to duplicate the best. Figure out how the best are doing what they're doing. Then do some variation of it. You know, mm-hmm. deviate just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get to a point as an artist where you're originating. You're finding your lane, your voice,
mm-hmm.
and going from there. But to me, it just kind of takes a while. And sometimes people get record deals or they get a popping single when they're in that kind of duplicating phase,
yeah.
or slightly deviating phase.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like most artists, you give them a little while, they will get to that originating phase.
Yeah. I hear that a lot, especially in pop and contemporary top 40.
Yeah.
You'll see an artist's first album comes out and it sounds like another something else. Remember the first Pink album sounded a lot like TLC.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, she started kind of branching off on it and doing, and she hated that first album. Later on, she said, yeah, I hated the music on my first album. But
yeah,
it was,
I kind of liked it.
I thought it was catchy.
Yeah.
And I like TLC, so if you come up with something that kind of sounds a little bit like TLC, then I probably will be into it.
Dude, Kehlani.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the interviews in Ardwar that I shot this year. Man, I think she's only like 20, but you can tell she grew up listening to TLC albums.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know? And it's still a little odd to hear things referenced like Snapchat or Twitter referenced in a song.
Yeah.
But some of her songs have these current references.
Yeah.
But, oh yeah, going back with Ardwar. So Meg and I were at his panel.
Yeah.
And
about
then,
four South Bys ago.
Yeah, four. Yeah, no, this was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Now, four more months, Megan, you know, took her life. She passed on my birthday, July 26, 2010.
And Megan was you over?
Yeah,
together.
Yeah, we were together. I think 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Planned to marry, kids, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a problem with depression and addiction.
Mm-hmm.
She had like a full on drinking problem in a way I've never seen it before. But she passed in July 2010. Now, I got to play South By officially a second time in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And in that year, you know, it's like, if there was a movie we liked and there was a sequel, I'd go see it because it kind of reminded me of her.
Yeah, I get that.
And she loved going to Ardwar's panel, just like anybody kind of exposed them to Ardwar.
They become a big fan.
Yeah,
of
it's Ardwar. Like you lose a half day the first time you start watching his, you know, interviews.
Yeah.
So on 2011, man, I go to his panel. It's like 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's speaking, and I think Andrew WK is there, mm-hmm. like drinking at 9 a.m. It's over. Man, I talked to Ardwar. I was like, hey, man, I was working TV news for about 8 years. I've shot for some news magazine shows. I've shot probably thousands of interviews. If you ever need an Austin shooter, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And passing info, and the next year.
Networking.
Yeah, just hustling, man. Shaking babies, kissing hands.
Mm-hmm.
The next year.
Every day he's hustling.
Every day I'm hustling. So the next year, about a month before South By.
Hello?
He's like, hey, man, can you shoot? And I guess he was getting to trust me because at first he wouldn't tell me who we're shooting.
That's classified.
That's what?
It's classified. I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
The first one we did was Pusha T. From the Clips. Mm-hmm. And then.
What year would that have been?
That's 2012.
Mm-hmm. Right before the apocalypse.
Yeah, right before the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, from then on, the last 4 years, I guess including this year, I've shot for him. I think I've shot 23 interviews for him.
Mm-hmm.
About once a year, I'll kind of add up the YouTube views. I think I've shot like 3 million.
See? So if you add them up, you're already at 3 million.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But yeah, we shot DJ Khaled.
That was this year.
Yeah.
Nardwuar, again, is a radio personality in Canada. He does radio.
Yeah, radio musician. He wears his mini hat.
YouTube star.
Like, yeah.
Now on a grander scale.
Yeah.
And he's South By every year. He's a regular at South By. He's a main staple at South By. But he has stroke just months ago, correct?
Yeah, in January at New Year's.
For Complex News, I'm Jinx with some unfortunate news. Nardwuar, the human serviette, everyone's favorite celebrity interviewer, has suffered a stroke. The news first broke via his Twitter account yesterday with the tweet reading, Saturday night, Nardwuar suffered a stroke at Mint Party. He's recovering at Vancouver General Hospital. More to come. Additional information regarding the incident or his current status is not yet available. For those of you who don't know, Nardwuar, whose birth name is Josh Ruskin, is a Canadian video journalist and musician born in Vancouver, British Columbia in 1968. He is widely adored for his quirky yet very well-researched style that has caught off guard a wide spectrum of artists and celebrities over the years, including the likes of Jay-Z, Drake, Tyler, the Creator, and many, many more. In 1986, he officially changed his name to Nardwuar. In 87, he started his career in media, working at the University of British Columbia radio station, CITR. Back in July of 1999, Nardwuar suffered a cerebral hemorrhage, which he recovered from following surgery. After hearing the news of his condition, several artists took to Twitter to offer their support for the beloved journalist. Flylo tweeted, "Sending love to Nardwuar, wishing you a speedy recovery." Pete Wentz shared an interview he had with Nardwuar and let him know that he was in his thoughts. Travis Scott, who was a Human Serviette's most recently published interview, also wished him well. Pharrell, sharing a photo of he and Nardwuar, wished him a speedy recovery. Not many people know that Pharrell helped to propel Nardwuar's career even further than it was after experiencing his one-of-a-kind interview style, and being so impressed, he made sure to connect the journalist with Jay-Z. I've had the personal pleasure of meeting Nardwuar. I was actually in the room the day that photo that Pharrell tweeted was taken. Pharrell surprised Nardwuar by flipping the script on him with a Nardwuar-esque interview. I can personally attest to A, how impressive he is at his craft, and B, how classy and kind he is as a person. He offered me a block of that cheddar cheese that you see in the photo. We here at Complex are wishing him a very speedy recovery. Get well, Nardwuar, and keep rocking in the free world.
And I remember hearing about this because I knew your connection to Nardwuar had been ongoing for a long time, and you had a relationship with him. Have you even gone up to see him? Have you been up to Canada?
No. What happened was, man, it's like since I've been shooting for him, man, it's like during the rest of the year we kind of keep up with each other, emails every now and then.
Yeah.
But like during South By, man, it's like we're working a lot. There's a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
And hurry up and wait. But there's also like every year there's been like at least one full-on adventure, like one of the interviews.
There's always that story, that big thing that happens, that one big thing that's the biggest of all of them.
One of the interviews turns into an adventure, and it's just, man, somebody I've gone through a lot of stuff with.
Next thing you know, they're having an orgy with George Takei.
Oh my.
George from Seinfeld. Ciara.
Oh, yeah. But no, it's like when I heard about stroke, man, it just punched me in the gut. I was like, I was really worried about the cat. And man,
yeah, and it was so close to the time of South By, I thought, well, I don't know if he's going to be turn around and be able to make it back.
Well, man, the outpouring of love was to that guy was just awe-inspiring. Like, even the Prime Minister of Canada, which he had interviewed, PM Trudeau.
Pimp of Canada.
Yes, the Pimp Master of Canada.
Pimp Master of Canada.
Yeah, even like he wished like Nardwuar like well on behalf of the nation of Canada.
Mm-hmm. His title again is?
Well, Prime Minister.
Prime Minister is his official title. He's going to be the first Prime Minister to get a gig like Beckham doing it, like underwear ads for H&M.
It was like, I didn't know how he was going to be after, was he going to be slowed down, even going to make it to South By. Like, man, it's like, dude hadn't lost a step at all. And, we interviewed, we had nine the our list. One of them canceled.
You think he took enough time off, come back to work?
Yeah, he had some kind of surgery.
You felt comfortable with him being back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some kind of hole in his heart. He got that fixed. Canadian healthcare.
Yeah.
But, he just didn't seem like he lost a step. I was kind of amazed to see how well he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Every South By just does a lot of them. He just started dropping the new South By interviews yesterday, and we had interviewed DJ Khaled. That was kind of the adventure this year.
Mm-hmm. Big Miami Heat guy, right?
Yeah,
Miami
yeah.
Heat fan. I remember when Spurs were playing the Heat a few years ago.
I may speak in tweets, but he is a meme machine.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, dude, everything DJ Khaled says, you know, we the best. All I do is win. Like, he's a success.
You know how they had the Drake, Meek Mills, and Drake was always getting the better of him? And then, but I mean, I want to see Drake go after like someone like Kendrick Lamar and see how that works out. or DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see how that one goes. Because these are some guys, it's like picking on somebody, you know, as a target. I don't know, come on, Drake. You're picking on somebody you probably know you could take.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to go after him.
But, yeah, just in the last 24 hours, I think it's like 150,000 people have seen the Khaled interview.
Go after Vanilla Ice. That'd be hilarious. Go old school. Take your beat to the old school.
Man, I have a Vanilla Ice story that I will not share because it will destroy my street cred.
Oh. I have a feeling maybe it was at a concert when you were younger, years ago, or maybe it was a CD you had. Or
No, I'm not going to tell you the full story.
There's a picture of him in a Vanilla Ice concert t-shirt somewhere.
No, no. There was something I said to him that he winds up saying the same thing like Rolling Stone.
Words of wisdom. Drop that zero and get with the hero.
You saw him somewhere.
I'm trying to give the short version. Uh-huh. I was working TV news.
In Louisiana?
Yeah, back mm-hmm. in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
We got sent out with a reporter to shoot. Mm-hmm. And I think there was like an opening act I wanted to see. He, you know, invites back for the show. I wound up hanging out on the bus, drinking Heineken back when I still drank. You know, it's like...
You're on Ice's bus.
Yes, and I didn't want to be rude to him.
Or it's like, Rob Van Winkle,
yeah,
actually.
I didn't want to be like... You suck, you know, and I'm like...
Which, by the way, Rob Van Winkle is the worst name to have as a rapper.
Well, you know, it's like I'm telling him that, you know, this is back when Diddy used to sample just whole 8-bar pieces
yeah,
of music.
We're around that
I'm
point,
like,
yeah.
You know, you did what Diddy was doing, you know, 10 years ago.
You were trying to give him sort of a, some kind of a, like it was a way to compliment him without, like... Totally, like, selling out on that you know.
I didn't want to be rude. I was drinking expensive beers.
On his bus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, it's probably not his bus. It was a charter. But same,
exactly.
Same way, yeah, either
so,
way.
So, yeah, about 4 or 5 months later.
What did he say, though? How did he respond to that?
I don't even remember. I mean, we're, you know.
He was like, was he going like yeah? yeah.
Word to your mother, brother fucker.
But about 4 or 5 months later, I'm flipping through a Rolling Stone, and they have like that section that has just quotes from different artists. And he says nearly word for word what I said. He was like, Diddy was doing what I was doing 10 years
ago. He was dictating that shit.
Yeah.
He went off into the bathroom somewhere and wrote that shit on a napkin. Like, it's like, yeah, I like that.
I'm not claiming this quote.
He should have hired you as like his publicist. Could have just put you right on the payroll right there.
I tell you
there.
One thing I've learned with artists and publicists: coolest artists have the meanest publicists. Like the meanest artists have the coolest publicists.
It's a good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not telling any of those stories.
Oh, like who's the coolest artist with the meanest publicist and the flip flop, and who's the vice versa?
Man, there's a certain C word I use very sparingly, maybe 4 or 5 times in my entire life.
Now, what starts with the letter C?
Now, I'm not going to tell you who's publicist, but there's one of them that inspired that word.
And, you know, Jazz working in TV news in Louisiana and then working as a camera and assisting with Nardwuar and his interviews at South by Southwest now for four goes?
4 years now.
4 years in a row. He's had a lot of these people and a lot of these brushes with greatness and with country. Not naming any names here, but if I can, maybe I can try to trick him into naming some of the country. Would you tell me who your favorite interview was in your South by Southwest years?
Well, one of them was the Pharrell interview because that turned into a two-parter.
Two-parter, yeah.
Normally we shoot for about 35 minutes or so in the interviews.
He's a real healthy guy. I saw him on the cover of one of the healthy health brochures Natural Grocers. And he's also cool. Like, he's got a Hawaiian shirt on in this picture, and he's wearing a like the little captain's love boat hat. And he loves to innovate when it comes to hats. Like he just said, oh, I'm not just going to do like a regular fedora or like a regular baseball cap. Like that's when he did the park ranger hat a few years ago that got Arby's going crazy on Twitter.
Who are you?
I am Pharrell Williams.
Pharrell Williams, welcome to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
Thank you, sir.
Pharrell, right off the bat, I have a gift for you.
Okay.
I have something that I think is true and dear to your heart. What can it tell the people about your obsession with the Isley Brothers?
Wow. First off, those guys have had like one of the longest careers in R&B music, R&B and soul music. And, you know, they are, you know, when you really, really listen to their music, like they really got into a super dreamy zone in the 70s. And I was always like blown away by that.
I'd say probably number two was the Chuck D interview.
Oh man, love Public Enemy.
Yeah, and that one, it's like doing the stuff I do, meeting the people I have, most of the time it kind of feels like work, kind of feels like networking. There's very few times I've just been like, wow. When I was in college, first time I heard Public Enemy, and so even if I didn't agree with everything they said,
right,
it was just kind of a new, you know, showed me new ways to kind of see things.
Well, and it gets conversation going. It gets people talking about things that they wouldn't otherwise be thinking about or talking about.
Yeah.
And then the dialogue. So it produces and stimulates a dialogue.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether you agree with it, their viewpoint. And that's the cool thing about Public Enemy. They each have, like, they're not all the same either on their viewpoints. They have different viewpoints within the group. I mean, I went and saw Professor Griff at Brave New Books a couple of years ago, and that guy is on a whole different. Have you all interviewed him?
No.
Have you come across him, or have you got
Our paths have not crossed.
You watch some YouTube videos of him. You're talking about going down a wormhole where you're like half a day later, you're still watching. I mean, he's got some theories and some conspiracies, and it's fascinating whether you agree with it or not. At least it's pretty intriguing stuff to listen to him.
So let me ask you this about the house situation with your house getting burnt down. Do you think the Illuminati has something to do with that to try to send you a message to try to quiet you? Or,
well, this is something I've never really said on film. I've said it on film, but I have that particular tape locked away in my safe behind my desk, and no one has ever heard me say this. But I think it's time that we kind of get this out in the open, that the blood and the human sacrifice. Well, I'm gonna look right in the camera and say this. I was supposed to be that blood human sacrifice for Public Enemy, but I survived it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And since I survived it and I'm talking about it now it's imperative that these people silence me. Plain and simple. I've told you about people that I had to deal with right in front of my door right here. Do you understand what I'm saying? I tell people, look, when you call me, know that this conversation is being listened to. Plain and simple.
Dude, I was going to an in-store back in, I think I was looking for a restroom, went down there to Brave New Books, man, there were like a dozen Del Gribbles down there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy from King of the Hill. They wanted just to trap you in the conversation so they can tell you their conspiracy theory.
Uh-huh.
You know, in Japan, a round of golf costs $12,000. You play from rooftop to rooftop. The balls are made out of rice somehow. And when you're all done, you got to go home and sleep in a tube.
And occasionally, I'm having to do the cough laugh.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm like, it was the most entertaining thing. Like, these people just were looking for any reason just to accidentally bump into you to go into their crazy conspiracies.
There's interesting characters you'll run into.
You know, it's like sometimes a black helicopter is a black helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I have a healthy distrust of the man, but
you know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers.
There are real problems in the world. Like, if you put the mental energy into the real problems instead of what you fear under your bed or in the shadows, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, it just seems like a little bit of a waste.
You gotta get a healthy balance there between being kind of open and open-minded, but also not getting too, like, completely, like, strained out on things.
Oh, yeah.
And you can, because it's just like, even like with what you see on everyday TV news, if you get too caught up in that and watch too much of it, Like my grandmother, when her later years, watched a lot.
This is CNN.
And it was just like, oh, he's just like really absolutely wound up. So you got to kind of give yourself a kind of a balance there.
Yeah.
Not get too caught up in it. But yeah, I can imagine that one. It's like an episode of King of the Hill, live action. And you're like, where's Mike Judge? He could be getting some new script material here for a King of the Hill movie.
The boys ain't right.
Were they wearing the long shorts?
No, I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. But
was Bobby there? Their version of Bobby? Bobby
Man, Hill? There is a kid on the YouTube that reviews records.
Uh-huh.
That looks like a live action Bobby Hill.
Wow. You
know, the funny thing was, like, he...
Mike Judge, get on that live-action King of the Hill.
Man, my biological nephew posted one of his interviews. He breaks down an album, goes into each track, mm-hmm. and he reviewed Gary Clark Jr.'s mm-hmm. album. Mm-hmm. I think the Black and Blue one. I don't believe in competition. Man, I was like, this is pretty awesome. This kid mm-hmm. went in. He looked like Bobby Hill's age. Looked like a life, real life Bobby
Hill. The real life Bobby Hill.
That's my purse! I don't know you!
So it's like, I've got a good connect with Gary Clark's manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I forwarded him the
wow.
video to him, and Gary, he got it to
Gary Clark Jr.'s yeah. manager.
And Gary Clark Jr. tweeted, like, this kid is going one day be like the editor of Rolling Stone.
Nice.
Like,
you gave him some major props
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you know, just like, no. Yeah.
Get him in for South By and get him hooked up with Nardwar. I'm going to look him up now. I want to check him out. I might interview him on the podcast. Get him to do an interview.
Like, to be that young, to go that deep into these albums.
Yeah.
It was like, it'd be like 20-minute reviews, and he would spend minutes on each track talking mm-hmm. about. Sometimes talking about the tracks longer than the songs actually were.
Mm, wow. Prodigy. It's like the Tiger Woods of music journalism. Nardwar this year, still pretty busy. Had some big interviews. This year, probably DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled was probably the biggest.
Khaled. I've pronounced his name like every different way you could pronounce it. Khalid. Khalad. Khalonic.
Oh, we the best.
Yeah. No, that's probably your favorite interview for this year?
Man, I'd say either that or Kalani. Let me see. This year, we did Lil Sims. Lil Uzi Vert,
mm-hmm.
Tory Lanez, Kalani, man, she was...
What was the last interview?
Metro Boomin.
By the time you get to that one, how many days has it been South By?
Man, it was, I think it was 12 days into South By.
So, are you pretty, like, about to, like, the camera's about to slip out of your hands, and you're kind of, like, having to lean against the wall to do the filming? Is it like that kind of thing?
Man, you know, it's like... Nardwar always ends the interviews in the same way, you know, he does the doot-doot-loot, you know, at the end. I mean, I'm so glad to hear that interview end.
Well, thanks much, Little B. Keep on rocking in the free world and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot-a-loot-doo, Nardwar.
I mean, I'm so glad to hear that interview end. It was like, that was the last one.
It's like a huge relief. Are we seeing the shots kind of starting to go down, like they're slipping, like you're seeing the feet of the person?
Don't be judging my camera work now.
You're trying to stay awake while you're doing the... to be falling asleep at the wheel.
We're chasing Kanye. You know, it's like, there's a lot of people who work with Kanye, they're trying to make that happen. If it happens during South By, I'll be shooting it.
Have you been chasing that one for a while, or is it just recently you started, like, really pursuing it?
It's like, who's, you know, talking, like, who's got connections, mm-hmm. you know?
He's a kind of hit or miss, like, when it comes to interviews, isn't he? Because he can be, dare I say, moody?
Yeah, I mean, it would, whether it's, you know, most of Arnor's interviews, most of them go good. I mean, it's always...
Artists really respond well to people that know their shit. And when they see, because it's so refreshing, because there's so many assholes doing interviews now that don't know shit about whoever they're interviewing, and they're just sort of, they're there and they're doing it, but they're tired of being asked bullshit that they get asked all the time, and they're tired of getting asked questions by some people that don't do any research.
Oh yeah,
they're just a face on camera that looks really good on camera, and then
man, I'll tell you one surprising one. A couple years ago, we interviewed Chanel West Coast
mm-hmm.
from Ridiculousness, and she's records, but man, you know, outside of the stuff that she's done, she writes poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, this was the most unexpected thing, and talked about that and exchange info. And that was, it's always interesting to find these tidbits of that you had no idea. Thunderpop Dome After Dark.
Thunderpop Dome After Dark. Oh, yeah. Get the Barry White music going. Oh, yeah. Where's my silk robe? I got a silk robe with a thunderbolt on the front. And a lightning bolt on the back. Two lightning bolts in the back. Coming out from where my ass would be. Come walking in, doing the slide like Eddie Murphy did on Saturday Night Live when he was the hot tub James Brown.
Presley, get dressed, man. This is getting weird.
Did you see the SNL? They did the anniversary special months ago. Did you get to watch this?
Oh, yeah.
I know you're a big SNL fan. So it was like the big thing with that was where they had Eddie Murphy. He came out and kind of didn't do. People were waiting for him to come back to Saturday Night Live for years because he had that fallout with David Spade.
Yeah.
So he had his fallout when David Spade did the Hollywood Minute and he made a joke about Eddie Murphy and it's a movie bombed or movies bombing. Movies, maybe not movie. And so Eddie Murphy took offense to that. And that was kind of like, because Eddie Murphy was there when Lorne Michaels was on break from SNL. So he was, his people were different. So when Lorne Michaels came back to SNL and they did this bit with David Spade in the Hollywood Minute, you know, Eddie Murphy probably also didn't feel as close to Lorne Michaels as some of the other cast members did since that wasn't really his guy.
Yeah.
He was there during the Dick Ebersol years or year. So, anyway, there was that, and then the fact that he wasn't too happy about the joke they'd made during, and he felt like disrespected, so he didn't come back to Saturday Night Live after that for many years. And this first time back, and a lot of people were like, you know, he didn't come out, he just came out, and it was like all awkward, he didn't do any jokes, and it was like, is he still funny?
For Complex News, I'm Hanuman Welch, and if you're anything like myself, you're still wondering why Eddie Murphy wasn't a more noticeable presence during the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special. Well, it may have something to do with a joke made by David Spade over 20 years ago. After a glowing, almost adoring introduction by Chris Rock, Murphy's time on the main stage was brief and by all accounts stilted. Chalk it up to nerves or being overrun with emotion at being back on the stage in Studio 8H in more than 20 years.
Isn't this an incredible night, this night? Everything is happening. This show is such a big part of who I am and my life, and I'm so happy to be back here and it's just a magical feeling. Actually feels like going back to my old high school, kind
of. Regardless of Murphy clearly being overwhelmed, the real question should be, why did it take Murphy more than two decades to return to his alma mater? And that question is far easier to answer. Norm Macdonald took to Twitter to dissect the 40th anniversary special through a huge string of tweets lasting a few hours when he finally revealed why Murphy never returned. The last anniversary was the 25th. Eddie did not attend due to a remark by David Spade. David is a very kind man, but his remark was not. So, Eddie never came back. So, what was the joke?
Look, children, it's a falling star. Make a wish.
I even tweeted something like that the Coneheads probably abducted Eddie Murphy and took his funny bone before the Saturday Night Live. And I love Eddie Murphy. I still watch Raw to this day. And you know, some of the older movies, I think, were, you know, obviously some of his better work. Like, and I think you can go up to like Nutty Professor and to really still really good Eddie Murphy movie that was made, you know, still quite a while ago, but not quite as long ago as Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
You know, so there was still some movies he was putting out more recently. But then the other thing too with Saturday Night Live is they wanted him to do a bit where he played Bill Cosby on Jeopardy, on the Celebrity Jeopardy. And he said, I don't want to really kick Bill Cosby while he's down, you know, kick a man while he's down. So they wanted him to play the Bill Cosby in that. And then they ended up getting, one of the other cast members ended up doing the Bill Cosby, you know, instead. He came back months later. They did the Kennedy Center Honors. And then finally he came out and he did some proof that he could still do it.
Some
standard. And ironically, he did some Bill Cosby stuff. So he kind of contradicted himself a little bit. Maybe after like more rape allegations came out and it started getting worse, he finally said, fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and talk some shit about Bill Cosby. But I think, and he's been talking for a long time about wanting to go back on the road, you know, do it again. But he just wanted, the timing was going to have to be right when he actually finally came back. And you kind of, as a comic, it's kind of like doing music. You know, I know like Tears for Fears, they were off for years, you know, on hiatus. And they came back, one of their first shows after many years of not playing was at the Backyard. in Austin. And I remember a friend went to the Cedar show, and she said, yeah, they were really, and then, you know, Richard Marx opened for them. And she said, Richard Marx was actually really good, but Tears for Fears, you could tell they hadn't played with each other that much in a while. And they were just a little, you know, so it's kind of like that. Music is kind of like the comedy too. If you take, you know, being a musician, if you're rusty, you're rusty, and you got to get a couple of shows under your belt before you really start to, so you kind of do a couple of, maybe you do a couple of small shows where, you know, you're not going to get as many people show up, just to kind of get sort of the rust out of the,
oh, absolutely,
the engine a little bit.
Do you know who he is? And this person said, is he the guy with directions? And I said,
this is the new Daily Show guy.
And he said, yeah, no, this is Trevor Noah from South Africa.
Trevor Noah.
I said, I don't know him. And he walked away and he said, they don't know who you are. They don't know who you are. And I turned to him and I said, you do realize right now you are Arsenio Hall and I am Eddie Murphy and the circle is complete.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we have come to America.
Here he is.
Who else got this? Bill, oh, Bill has one of these. Did y'all make Bill give his back?
Oh.
No, because I know there was a big outcry from people. They was trying to get Bill to give his trophies back. You know you f***ed up when they want you to give your trophies back. Trophy back to him? He should do one show where he just come out and just talk crazy now. I would like to talk to some of the people who feel that I should give back my trophies.
That's the part there that really nails it, is when he does the crazy face. I was like, oh yeah, and he still got it.
Man, there were so many women with rape allegations against him. It was easier to count the women who didn't have rape allegations against Bill Cosby.
Yeah, it's almost like the day they have a court date. And it's like, we're going to ask all women that don't have allegations to show up at the courthouse. And we'll by elimination, then be able to go from there.
Well, you know, to me, it's like, it's that old Hollywood stuff. You know, it was like, there was times where... what do you call it, Hollywood groupies or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, there was times you can get away with that.
We're talking about Mad Men. The 60s were pretty wild. Yeah. Yeah, and you referencing Mad Men. So
I mean, it was a different time, but you know, now with social media, you can warn people, and I just don't think, I mean, I'm sure there's still sleazy guys out, you know, in Hollywood.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, but it's still, like, if you get too far... you're probably going to get outed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different time. There's a lot more transparency because of the, you know, everybody's got a camera. You've got the TMZs.
Oh, yeah.
And which I know nothing about TMZ.
In my fifth appearance on TMZ Live, I get to talk about the Bobby Flay divorce. I reference the irony of the name of his show, and then I accuse him of food poisoning his wife.
Anything at all you guys want to talk about? Who's up first?
Stephen Presley, Austin, Texas. Hey guys, I want to talk about Bobby Flay. Okay, he's got that show, you know, called Beat Bobby Flay. And I'm thinking this whole divorce thing is going to be the best episode ever of Beat Bobby Flay. The only difference is he might actually lose. He never loses on the show, but in this one, he might actually lose. You know, okay, Stephanie March, she had this whole appendix thing. And I'm wondering, did Bobby cook her something that maybe didn't sit right?
Oh, come on. Oh my god.
No, I don't.
We're in. But maybe beat Bobby Flay. She's actually gonna beat Bobby Flay in this thing. I don't know.
Ultimately, he's gonna really nasty.
He's gonna win though.
Not, no. Then you got, I mean, before, I mean, back in the 80s, you just had like a National Enquirer and maybe one other like Star Magazine. And if you could pay them off, you could keep your shit kind of clean and out of the way, or you can make a deal with them. I'll give you an interview. You can do it at my house. We'll do it in front of the fireplace. I'll give you like a kind of an exclusive, and then you keep my story out of the scandal about the 18-person orgy that I had. Then don't tell people about it, so I can keep my job as a family
about the magazine
and playing it. Yeah. So yeah, it's a much different time. It's a lot more transparent. I mean, even Eddie Murphy, he had kind of a thing where he got in trouble because he had supposedly was it with the transsexual, the cross-dresser. There was a prostitute that he supposedly had picked up. And he, but he did a good job. He kind of got that, kind of went away over time. He kind of got forgot. You can get it. Everybody gets one freebie. I think everybody gets one freebie. We can go get us a cross-dressing prostitute, and we'll, people will forgive us and get. I mean, I'm not saying I don't want a cross-dressing. Let me get something clear. I don't want a cross-dressing prostitute, but we can have our own version of that.
A cross trainer.
A cross trainer that used to be a prostitute. Everybody gets a freebie. It's like Oprah and Oprah's favorite things. Everybody gets one free scandal.
Oh!
Everybody gets one free scandal. So, you know, Eddie Murphy had his one free scandal. But then
my sex tape's coming out tomorrow. No, I'm trying.
It's going to be hashtag sex tape connoisseurs. He went around Austin to try to find the best sex tape experience. He wasn't going to release this until tomorrow, but...
No, I wanted that good lighting.
Yeah,
and good production equipment.
And which cheap hotel had the best lighting, out of all the cheap hotels that you rented for your sex tape?
The Driscoll.
Oh no, that's not a cheap hotel. You had to go expensive to get good lighting.
Man, that reminds me. Like, man, why do dudes send dick pics? Like me, I'm a little bit too much of a production.
When are we going to evolve
like,
out of that?
I have to have key lighting. I have to have like. It would have to be perfect for me to send a picture of my little jazz.
Except 1/8 your size.
Breathtaking. I shall call him Mini-Me.
Like, I want good lighting, I want a good background. Like, I would have to have, like, a crew take care of that.
Because we're talking about hype men earlier. We're all our dick's hype man, aren't we?
Exactly.
You've got to be. And you want your hype man to get presented the best way possible. And you also don't want their brand to be cheapened.
Exactly.
By texting it just off to anybody.
Exactly. Like, too many dudes, like, just trying to shoot. Like, no, no. Like, that's a bad angle. Like, no. They need a tripod. They need, you know, key and fill lights. Mm. I want backlit.
Are you taking notes, Brett Favre? We love you, number four.
Like, seriously, has that ever worked? A female friend of mine told me she got bombarded by some dude she wasn't expecting to get a dick pic from. I mean, I was like, just go to Google, find a bigger dick pic, and send it back to him.
So you got to plan ahead on that.
Exactly.
You know, and speaking of Brett Favre, you would not ever want, if you were the woman that he was sending the dick pic to, allegedly, if you were one, he gets his free scandal too. He got his free scandal. He moved on. He continued to do his Wrangler ads.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's, but he, you would never, if you were Brett Favre, you wouldn't want the woman that you were sending the dick pic to call your dick number four. In any situation, you would not want to be called number four.
Man, like, this one girl was sending me some photos, and she was like, send me one. It was like, a dick pic? I'm like, so I sent her a picture of Dick Cheney.
And you tried to go with what you thought would be the biggest dick possible.
Exactly.
You went through down the list. There's Dick Van Dyke, Dick Clark.
Yeah.
The famous dicks.
Yeah.
You could have even gone old school with Dick Nixon.
Yeah, but
yeah, you went Dick Cheney. A little bit newer school, Dick Cheney. Do you remember they were doing the inauguration when it was the changing of hands between Bush and Obama, and Cheney was in a wheelchair for some reason during that changeover at the ceremony?
Yeah,
because they were there and they were on the steps, and I mean, I'm serious, it was reminiscent of the It's a Wonderful Life, the character on It's a Wonderful Life that was the villain. That was in a wheelchair. Mr. Bailey?
Yeah.
Mr. Bailey. I was like Mr. Bailey 2020K. 2K.
DP Palpatine.
All right. When we come back, I've got this segment. It's called Agree or Disagree. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you haven't.
I agree.
We'll see when we come back here on Thunder Pop.
Shit is getting real. Oh yes, things getting serious. Dude, did you hear what I said? The shit just got real.
And we're back on the Pop And the Thunder.
The Thunderpop Dome.
At the Thunderpop Dome, as coined by Jazz One.
No, not the Thunderpop Dome. It's the Thunderpop Dome.
See, it's my hype man here. I brought my hype man. All right, so we got some agree or disagrees for that ass.
All right.
Number one, the growth in popularity, going back to taco talk here, the growth in popularity of the breakfast taco on a nationwide scale is imminent. Will it someday become as common thread in our culture as a country as the hamburger and pizza?
It will
agree or disagree?
It will get there. I agree.
Agree?
Yes.
So you can see breakfast taco like in people in Chicago or in Seattle, like just as much as a burger and a pizza, it's kind of a weekend thing that they'll one day.
It's going to take a while to export the right sauces, like a good Verde sauce.
Yeah, because that's the big problem with the regional, is the regional part, because, you know, I DJ Taco Delis. They're friends of mine. They're great guys that own the business, so it's a great company, a great place to support, because the people are great that run it and own it. Every year I DJ their Christmas party, and I go back, because they used to work for them. So yeah. Every year I go back, I DJ their Christmas party, and I DJ their summer lake party.
Oh, they're on our list.
Yeah, and that's exciting. I'm looking for when it comes out, we're going to have you back with your friend just to... When you come back, we're starting to play episode 10 over this episode. When you come back, we'll have to have you back to talk about the
real life.
The journal's coming out soon, right?
Well, no, it's at the end of the year. So we're doing 2 taco joint reviews a week for a year. Now, if we miss one or two, we're still going to have close to 100 reviews of different taco places. So after 2016's over, we're going to print them up into books and sell them at the souvenir shops and like the boutiques.
Yeah,
and also have it on Amazon where you can just order it and they'll print it and send it.
Whole Foods has a local section that if you can get in with them, you can get it featured as a feature in their
part
of that section.
And it's just, it's kind of funny. My friend Caruso, he was the smoker at an unnamed place. And he's a food guy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, me, I knew this tastes good, this tastes bad. But he's kind of teaching me food. I'm teaching him how to brand something and how to grow an audience. And so it's kind of this symbiotic relationship we have going.
That's great. You both have, you're bringing your strengths and your power, knowledge power to it. So there it is. You see that. Maybe a while, but it's going to happen. Breakfast taco is going to become a main staple on a nationwide scale.
As much as the sausage and egg biscuit.
That was the thing we were talking about regionally. And the last party I DJed, I was talking to some of the managers, and I said, yeah, you're going to start expanding. You're opening now in Dallas, Houston. I said, you know, Juiceland, another local Austin business that's done a lot of growth in recent years, they franchised to a guy in Brooklyn. You know, there's a lot of Austin transplants in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
What about Brooklyn for a taco deli? And Griff is the guy I was talking to, named Griff, is the manager of one of the stores. He said, man, I don't know if we can do Brooklyn because we do a lot of local with our, you know, mine locally for our ingredients. And that's a big part of our brand. And to go just all of a sudden be in Brooklyn, you wouldn't be able to do the same menu the exact same way.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of what you're hitting on about when you were saying, well, it's going to take a while, and it's going to be about exporting or importing the right sauces.
No, it's like you can throw a tortilla, egg, and different parts of it anywhere. Like, there's no bad breakfast taco. Mm-hmm. But to make some, oh my God, breakfast tacos?
Yeah.
Like, you got to find the right sauces, you know, like the right meat, you know. Good eggs.
But once you've had that taco that's got a fine ass, it's hard to go down after that to like, you know, some kind of a scrub taco, scrub breakfast taco. You become kind of a taco snob.
Oh, man.
Especially when you had a couple of them.
Oh, exactly.
Okay, number 2, Batman versus Superman, which came out so close to Deadpool that it may have been a huge misfire on the plans of the studio. Because now it's going to be viewed side by side and could possibly even be looked at as an inferior superhero offering since the two movies came out so close together.
I'll disagree because I think they're aimed at two different audiences.
I could see that, yeah. Deadpool, R-rated movie.
Yeah.
They made that bold decision to release it as an R-rated movie. And there were people like Kevin Smith on the internet that was pushing for them to do an alternative release simultaneously of a PG-13 version.
Yeah.
But I didn't stop people. People are still taking their key, like 5 and 6. Because of that movie, movie theaters now are suggesting that some movie theater chains are suggesting that they're going to start stricter enforcement for parents and taking their 5 and 6 year old kids to R-rated movies. Yeah,
no, I'm kind of pumped for the Batman versus.
He's got a Superman tee on at the moment.
Man, it's like I'm adopted, and something about Superman, like Batman's the cooler character, or whatever. But man, it's like being an adoptee. Superman.
They both have their childhood tragedies.
Yeah.
I mean, one became, you know, of course, Batman's got to, he got the mansion and still got Alfred, the butler, to take care of him. But yeah, then Superman, though, was outplaced from his home. And
oh, yeah.
Ended up being adopted and installed in a farm family. So you can kind of relate to that. Kind of, you're able to relate to that
it's
experience.
Like I came from another planet, mm-hmm. and I was on Earth, and then it's like some days I'm doing big stuff, some days I'm Clark Kenning.
And that kryptonite, you don't do well with that kryptonite either.
Big booties are my kryptonite.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt.
Like I'm a big dude. Like I'm a ponytail and a poor disposition away from being comic book guy in The Simpsons. So it's like, okay, I like comic book character movies, but don't read the comic books.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go see Star Wars on opening day, but I won't dress as a character.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta have that fine line. Yeah. As I don't want to.
I will never dress in a superhero costume. I will never see me out dressed in a superhero costume.
But man, I love me some art, cinema, foreign films, and some serious movies. But you put a dude in a cape, I will probably go see it.
And like I said, I'll never dress in a superhero costume. Making kind of a joke. Kind of a reference to Captain Badass.
Dude, we have an awesome photo.
Yes, got one of you over at the La Taza Fresca when Captain Badass was on the streets patrolling. And of course, his light is not the bat symbol, but it's like a butt cheeks.
Oh! All
right, so now, number three, South by Southwest this year. In President Obama's last two visits to Austin, he visited Franklin's Barbecue, and then he went to Torchy's Tacos on this last visit. Will the next visit find him skipping the line at Hop Dottie's Burger Bar? Agree or disagree? It's a place he hasn't been to yet in Austin that's quite popular.
I disagree.
Disagree?
And I would say where I think he should go, but yeah. I'm not going there because this guy was recently arrested.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm not saying nothing. No. I'm not casting any shade.
No, we're not. I mean, of course, we want to let the court go through the process, sort of let the justice system work things out. It didn't look good. He's talking about, is it Paul? Last name's Paul?
All I'm saying is cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah. The owner, he's the founder of Eastside King.
I'm not saying okay. Nothing.
All right. Anyway, there was some really bad post South by Southwest wackiness that happened at his apartment or his condo.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Some people got hurt, and cocaine, like Rick James said, you gotta listen to Rick James. He said, cocaine's a hell of a drug. Anyway, some drugs and alcohol were probably involved, and some things happened. But yeah, that would have been, I know you said that before that happened, and now that's happened, it's kind of like, I don't know if POTUS called me right now and asked for a recommendation on a place, I would be conflicted because that would have been my next place to go to.
Okay, if he came back Borrego de Oro for tacos.
Okay.
Or La Mexicana.
Okay. So there'd be your two recommendations for him.
Tacana.
He can get a burger in Washington. He can get a good burger probably up
there. Hashtag Taco Quest 2016.
He can get a good burger up there somewhere in the Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like I'm sure even in Washington there's a burger place you can get a good burger.
Well, okay. He went to Torchy's. Maybe he should go to Taco Deli.
A lot of people posted that on Facebook. They're like, oh, you should have went to Taco Bell. Because there's, it's kind of like the
DC. Wait. Was it after 3 p.m.?
Well, there you go. And that's what I tell people when I'm caught, when they catch me at Torchy's. And it's like, hey, you're not at Taco Bell. It's like, well, it's after 3 p.m.
Man, I was telling, when I was on tour in 2012 up in Colorado, man, I tweeted Torchy's. I was like, you guys should have a location at the airport. It's like most people eat before they fly out. Mm-hmm. If Torchy's was at the airport, I would eat on my way back in. Like, there's so many times. Like,
that's how good the food is.
I don't always have Torchy's, like, every week or so. But if you get me out of town for 3 or 4 days, the first thing I want is Torchy's.
You're going to go straight there.
I'm going straight from the airport straight to Torchy's before going home.
you're on your way. Yeah, and we got some. There's pretty good food at that airport. I mean, you got the Salt Lick, and then you have Maudie's.
Yeah.
And the Salt Lick, by the way, that brisket taco that you can get. And also ACL, their brisket nachos.
Yeah.
From the I went there the year before last and got the bridge. It was amazing.
Agree.
Nectar of the gods. All right, there you go. I think that was it. Yeah. Oh, was it? Yeah. Oh, I got one more. A bonus. Bonus agree or disagree. Daisy Ridley, Rey from Force Awakens, is now in talks to take over the role of Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider reboot. Woo! On the heels of her Force Awakens success, this is a bona fide blockbuster. No questions asked. Agree or disagree?
Okay, before I answer my agree or disagree, would the entire movie be from behind her, like in the game?
Oh, good question. Well, was the original one with...
in the game, like, all you see is, you know, ass and hips.
Was the Angelina Jolie version that
way? Yeah, like, I just want that same, was it third-person view?
Uh-huh.
Just following her around the whole movie.
So you say if they do that, then it is a hit.
I know, I'm spending my money. It's a hit with me.
It's a Daisy and a Ridley.
Exactly.
Ridley this.
Woo!
There you go. So Tomb Raider, possibly going to happen. But she's going to be on her way after that. She'll have two big franchises under her belt.
Man, I do have to say, if anybody can pull that off, it's her.
It's an interesting choice. Yeah, and from what I'm convinced, saw her in Force Awakens, that she could be a great Lara Croft new generation.
Yeah, I mean, it would almost be like a female James Bond, you know, like
sort of action. Feel, vibe to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a now like this new generation of female action stars that are coming along. You've got, you know, Jessica Lawrence,
yeah,
The Hunger Games, and she's got a new sci-fi movie coming out with Chris Pratt later in the year. It looks really exciting, and now with Daisy Ridley and Force Awakens playing kind of the lead, or is the lead in that new trilogy, and then having her DVD, by the way, Force Awakens now available on and extra scenes. I hear that's what I'm really looking forward to seeing it. But I want it so I can just play that scene over and over again where Luke, she finally gets the, you know, spoiler alert. And if you haven't seen it by now,
you need to rethink your life.
You need to rethink your life. You need to revisit a lot.
Reevaluate.
Get some religion. But anyway, some Star Wars religion. So that scene with Luke Skywalker. I'm just going to freeze frame that. I get so excited when he finally shows up at the end of the movie. And my friend who hated the prequels, he hates every movie. He waited to go see Force Awakens. He barely just saw Force Awakens in early February because he hates crowds. And he likes to go to the movies when they're empty because he's got sort of a phobia. Doesn't like, he's a sort of crowd phobia.
Yeah.
So he waited till February to go see it. He managed to avoid all spoilers. Because he's not a big social media person.
Yeah.
He's not into that. So he finally got to go see it in February with no spoilers. Spoiler free. And he loved the movie.
Man.
Loved it. And this was after he's hated everything that they'd done in the prequels and everything else that's come out. I mean, he hates every movie that comes out, almost. But he loved Force Awakens.
Man, recently I had a friend of mine break down the prequels over breakfast tacos. And I've just been kind of on the prequels. But... okay, the Holy Trilogy and the new one are Masonic Asian space westerns, right? Mm-hmm. Man, those prequels, especially the last one, you know, Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah.
Man, if you look at it through like a Shakespearean lens, like the themes, like it's not the Masonic Asian space western.
Right.
But if you kind of look at it through... like, same lens you look at Othello or Macbeth and mm-hmm. all. I'm like, the betrayal and all this, I'm like, man, this is kind of Shakespearean, oddly.
Yeah, a little V for Vendetta in there, too, a little bit, with the Palpatine and how he built himself up to, behind the scenes, into, like, becoming a ruler.
Man, it kind of reminded me of that last Tribe Called Quest album, you know, the Love Movement.
Yeah.
And it's like, when I knew they were breaking up, I just kind of ignored it. Mm-hmm. Then, like, years later, went back and revisited. And even Bad Tribe is Good Tribe.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like Breakfast Taco.
Yeah.
Even Bad Breakfast Taco is Good Breakfast Taco.
And rest in peace, Fife Dog.
Yeah. So, there you go. So, you agree as long as they do that shot. for the game.
Yeah, yeah. I want a third person shot just like the video game. Just give me an hour and a half of Lara Croft, but
I'm with you on it, man. I'm with you. All right, we'll be back. Thoughts and advice. Speaking of that ass.
Ooh.
We'll be doing that.
Do I love you? Do I lust for you? Am I a sinner because I do the two? Can you let me know? Right now, please. Benita Applebum.
Benita Applebum, you gotta put me on. Benita Applebum, I said you gotta put me on. Benita Applebum, said you
from the Thunder Pop Dome.
You said it. Jazz One here sitting in, panelist, co-host, back encore performance. He's was our second ever panelist on the show, and now wow. He's back. He's been glad to have him here today. We're going to have you again.
Man,
here.
Presley, I've been enjoying the show. And if this is the first episode you're listening to, subscribe on iTunes.
Man, the hype man like no other.
Yeah.
Here it is. I have a thought.
Thought.
And an advice for you.
Advice for you.
Every day, do something that scares you. And I'll have to admit, this actually, there's my hype man over here working it. I'll have to admit, I got this from my coach that teaches the fitness class I go to. He did a little thought and advice after class, and that's where I got the idea to do a thought and advice for the show. So we're talking about sampling.
Yes.
I'm sampling his thought and advice a little bit. Kind of like going P. Diddy.
Reinterpolation.
Kind of going Puff Daddy.
I told you that. We won't stop.
Exactly. That's my hype man. He said do something that scares you. And then he gave some examples.
Ooh.
So all I do is I'm taking that, do something that scares you, and I'm going to give you my own version of what I think you should do to do some stuff that scares you. So to make you feel vibrant and vital.
Ain't never scared.
Never be scared. Okay. Russell Simmons.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Music mogul. I saw a special on MTV, this has been years ago now, where they talked about the biggest flops of MTV's time.
Yeah.
And Russell Simmons, he had a thing he said we did called horrorcore. Did you ever hear about horrorcore?
Yeah, grave diggers.
So horrorcore was basically like a hardcore hip hop.
Suicide, it's a suicide. Suicide, it's a suicide.
But it blended the elements of hip hop with horror.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and you're right. There was the Flatliners was one of the groups. And actually, it was Jamal Simmons, who was the nephew of Russell Simmons, and two other MCs.
Oh, wow.
That made up Flatliners. Or actually, two others. Okay, so there. The group is... Actually, this was Red Rum. Jamal Simmons, nephew of Russell Simmons, and two other MCs, Grave Digger and Tempest. FLM was an extension of the Flatliners... Flatline Massive, which included artists Butler, Mayhem. Anyway, this was called horrorcore. Def Jam targeted the Flatliners as an alternative to gangster rap, which was dominating rap at the time. The term horrorcore is a fusion of hardcore hip-hop and horror. Anyway, Russell Simmons said it just turned into something that was really cheesy, and it just did not take off. What's funny is when I was doing my research on this, I found out that this group is actually, in 2014, they announced that they're planning on doing some kind of reunion. Come back. This was coming from Jamal Simmons' Facebook.
That's
so
awesome.
Interesting. Anyway, horrorcore. So this is my suggestion. Do something that scares you. Try and go start your own horrorcore rap group.
Oh, absolutely.
That will be scary, especially if you're a 45-year-old real estate agent from Austin that wears polo shirts and khakis, and all of a sudden you say, I'm going to go start a horrorcore group. We're going to start playing shows. It's going to be horrorcore, and we're going to bring horrorcore. It didn't work the first time, but we're going to make it happen the second time.
Man,
right here in the ATX.
Speaking of horror, I had an idea for a film. It's going to be like The Expendables.
Mm-hmm.
But horror film guys, like you'll have Jason, you'll have
Pinhead,
you'll have
yes.
Freddy, and like they're all being one.
Why
movie.
Has that not happened? That should happen.
Yo, Hollywood, listen.
Hey, but don't steal
He's
it.
He's a success.
Give him credit. Don't take it and manipulate it. Give him credit for it. Or we'll start a horror core group and we'll come and horrify you.
I need a soundtrack.
So here's the second thing to do. I'm giving you some suggestions on things you could do that do something scary. Oh, you can't think of something scary to do? Then I'll give you some suggestions. Here we go. Start your own brand of chocolate soda. You know, chocolate soda has always got a bum rap. Why has chocolate soda never really quite taken off? I don't understand, because it seems like it's a blending of two of like the most awesome things ever, soda and chocolate. But yet chocolate soda just never seemed to find its stride. Am I right on this or am I wrong on this? So go start your own chocolate soda and make chocolate soda finally hit big. I mean, you got root beer. Root beer has always done well. Colas have always done well. Lemon lime sodas have always done well. Orange sodas. But the chocolate soda, it doesn't ever really seem to stick.
Topo Chuck. Choco.
Could be one there. Maybe that's the key, is to not make it soda, make it a mineral water or chocolate.
Exactly.
And when I say it doesn't seem to stick, I'm lying. It's very sticky and it will...
Ooh.
Anyway, here's another third suggestion on things to do to scare you. Everybody's doing a Star Wars fan film. They even have a festival now just for Star Wars fan films. Star Trek fan films. I say make a Battlefield Earth fan film. Nobody will think of that doing that. That's something kind of scary.
Vaguely.
Do it. The Scientologist will be all on your jock if you do the Battlefield. John Travolta, he will contact you and want to go work out at the gym with you late at night.
Make money, money, money.
I don't even know what that means.
Take money, money, money.
I got a fourth suggestion of things to do that will scare the hell out of you. Launch a podcast on the subject of boogers. Just do a podcast about boogers.
That's not going to work.
You could call it Mr. Boogers and Friends. You could do one episode about cleaning out the nostrils. Do another episode about the different kinds of boogers, the shapes, the texture of the boogers.
The nuggets of my life. I pick you and it picks me up. My crust is salty white. How I love your sweet goo.
Episode 3 of the podcast. Of course, these were some rejected ideas when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do for a podcast. And I was trying to think of some niche that had not been covered yet. I was combing through iTunes. I was like, no one's done a booger podcast yet. Anyway, so here's... I'm going to give you this. I'm giving this as a gift. You want to do something that scares
Jesus
you?
Jesus success.
Yeah. Another one is find a hype man as good as Jazz One. And that's our thoughts and advice for better or worse and more like worse as we contemplate the idea of a Mr. Booger and Friends podcast. Or we call it Booger Time, or you can call it, you can pick your friend's nose.
Pick a winner.
Pick a winner. I like it. The social media for that. You have a mascot too. You could have like a booger with like little legs like the Planter Peanut guy. But be a booger with like legs and feet and arms that kind of off the side. Mr. Booger. Mr. Booger and Friends. I think I'm going to do this podcast. Never mind. Don't do it. I'm going to do a spinoff podcast about boogers. This will be the grossest thing ever. And we digress, as we always do on this podcast. Jazz One, I can't thank you enough. You're going to come back very soon. We're going to have you on this podcast again. Bonus. So I want to tell everybody to have a great week, a great hour, a great minute, a great millisecond, a great... What's smaller than a millisecond?
Right now. I mean, now.
Now.
I mean, now.
This now. Not that now before, but the now. No, not that now. This now. Not that now, but this now. All right, everybody have a great one. We'll see you back at the Thunderdome.
The Thunder Pop Dome.
So soon. And it's not the now, it's the now, that now. Now, now.
Now,
now, now, now, now.
I lied.
Thunderpop! 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 Oh, Thunderpop!
So long! See you later! Beat it! Hit the bricks! Hit the bricks!
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.